I know you've been standing for a little bit, but we'll read a few verses of Scripture and pray, and then you can be seated. I just feel like this preaching time this morning, and so you pray for us and with us that God would help us. Isn't it good to be saved and be in God's house? And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want to tell you these altars are always open, and you can come anytime you need to or want to the altar, and somebody will come and pray with you. Matthew chapter number 9 this morning, and I want to look in verse number 20. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Father, Lord, I do ask you, if you would, this morning in Jesus' name, to help us. We need you this morning. We want to thank you for the good singing. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to give and the offering. Lord, we do thank you for your people, Lord, their faithfulness, and Lord, for their sacrifice and their investment in the work of God. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel that's been given out, the tracts that have been given, and the good report about that. And we ask you now, Lord, to bless the reading of thy word, speak to our hearts. I pray for anyone here this morning that is under the sound of our voice and is not saved. I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd revive our hearts and, Lord, encourage and strengthen our faith. Most of all, may you get the glory and the honor for everything that'll be said and done today. And we'll love you, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you for it, for we do ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice with me in this text that if you're a Bible reader, you know the story concerning this woman with the issue of blood. And of course, she is mentioned. Mark talks about her in Mark chapter number 5, and Luke talks about her in Luke chapter number 8. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this account concerning this woman with the issue of blood. And if you're a Bible reader, you know that this is a story about sickness. It is a story about struggling, but it is also a story about salvation. Amen? Because in the end, this woman is going to be delivered. And we come to this text this morning, we notice here that there is a woman in this text. Verse 20 says, "And behold, a woman." And then in verse number 22, notice the last part of that verse there. It says, "And the woman was made whole from that hour." We think about the woman in this text. That is what the story centers around. And then there's a work in this text, because this woman does not end the way that she starts out. Amen? If you'll notice the difference in the timing of this text, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased," notice this, "with an issue of blood 12 years. So here's a woman that's got a sickness. She's suffering with a disease for 12 years. But notice the timing in the latter part of verse number 22. "And the woman was made whole from that hour." Amen. I mean, listen, she goes from being sick to being saved. Amen. She goes from being diseased to, thank God, she's delivered. Amen. Here's a woman. There is a great work, a great transformation that's going to take place in this text. And then there is a word in this text. Look what Jesus said in verse number 22. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You notice the Bible calls her a woman in verse number 20, and it calls her a woman in verse number 21. But Jesus has a word for her, and he does not call her a woman, but he calls her a daughter. Amen. That is a term of endearment. Amen. And what Jesus has to say to her, he says, "I want you to be of good comfort." And I would say this morning that God has a word for every one of us here. We come to the house of God this morning to sing and to worship God and to hear the preaching of the word of God. I'm glad that I'm reading one text this morning, but God has an individual word for every single one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. I'm glad the word of God is alive. Amen. And the same passage of scripture that speaks to me, thank God, can speak to you. It can meet the need in my life, and it can also meet the need that's in your life. Amen. And I tell you, when we come to this text this morning and we consider this woman, I mean, this woman, it's very easy to see that she is diseased and she is dying. Amen. But I would say also she is determined. Amen. This is a woman that is determined that she is not going to let her disease keep her from getting to Jesus. Amen. And I want to preach on that a few minutes this morning on how to get in touch with Jesus. Amen. How to get in touch with Jesus. Consider this woman because she is going to track Jesus. Amen. You notice Jesus is not going in her direction. Amen. In fact, he's going to Jairus' house. He's not going in the direction that this woman is going. But you know what she's going to do? She's going to go where Jesus is. And can I say this morning, I'm glad that he can come to where I'm at. I'm glad he can come to where you're at. But I'm glad we can also go to him. Amen. I'm telling you, this woman is going to track Jesus. She's going in his direction. And then this woman is going to trust Jesus. Amen. I mean, she's got a problem that is bigger than what she is. But thank God she's going to trust the Lord. Amen. You know, you may be here this morning and say, preacher, I got an impossible situation. I got a problem that's bigger than I am. Well, I tell you what you can do. You can track the Lord. Amen. It's not hard to find Jesus if you're looking for him. In fact, every person in this Bible that ever sought him, you know what? They found him. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen. And this woman is going to trust Jesus. You got a problem? I'll tell you how to get in touch with Jesus. You got to trust him. Amen. And then I notice this woman, she is going to touch Jesus. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 20, that behold, a woman with an issue of blood 12 years, the Bible said she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Amen. For she said, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. I tell you, it's one thing for Jesus to reach out like he's going to do Jairus' daughter. He's going to reach out and touch her and she's going to be healed. But here's a woman that reached out and touched the Lord. He didn't touch her, but thank God she touched him and she was healed this morning. You know, today, if you want to get in touch with Jesus, you can. You say, well, I need to get in touch with him. Well, you can. If you don't, it's your fault. If I don't, it's my fault. Here's a woman that is going to touch him. And I notice her trouble, as the Bible said, that she was diseased. I mean, here's a woman that is frail. Here is a woman that she's feeling the weight of her disease as day by day and week by week and year by year, it is beginning to press on her and she is growing more worse as the days go on. She's in trouble. Amen. I remember before I got saved, I was in trouble. I could not help myself. I was just like this woman, diseased. And the problem, my friend, was in my blood, just like it was hers. And I could not help myself. I was dying just like she was. Hey, sinner, if you're lost this morning without God, you're diseased. Sin is in your vein. You got a blood disease just like she does. And you need salvation this morning. I see her trouble. I see her touch. Because the Bible said that she touched the hem of his garment. It was possible for this woman to touch Jesus. Amen. And it is possible for you and I to reach out and to touch Jesus this morning. And I see her transformation as Jesus said in verse 22, thy faith hath made thee whole. I mean, this woman goes from being sick to being saved. She goes from being diseased to being delivered. She goes from hurting to being healed. Here's a woman that goes from being frail, thank God, to being forgiven. I'm telling you, God knows how to change your situation. He knows how to bring deliverance. If he can heal her body, he can heal any other problem in her life. And I want to say, if God can save your soul, there's not a problem you'll ever face that'll be too big that what he cannot help you this morning. You need to get in touch with him. I'll tell you, going to church is good, but it's not enough if you don't get in touch. Now see this woman's transformation, but it ends in verse number 22 with her testimony. And that woman, and the woman, was made whole from that hour. What a testimony. Because she got a hold of Jesus. I wonder in this congregation this morning, how many people need to get in touch with the Lord? I wonder how many people are here today and you say, preacher, I need to get in touch with Jesus. Well, I want you to notice how she got in touch with Jesus. Because the same way that she got in touch with him is the same way you and I will get in touch with him. I would say first of all this morning that she had a path. Notice the Bible said in verse 22, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, look at this little phrase here, came behind him. You see, this woman had a path. Because as I mentioned earlier, Jesus was not going in her direction. He, in fact, he was going in the opposite direction that she was in. But you know what she did? The Bible said she had a path. She came behind him. Now, if you're going to get in touch with Jesus, you're going to have to go in the direction that he's going in. You can't go in one direction and him be going in another. Amen? I mean, this woman knows he's not coming my way, so I'm just going to go his way. You know, this morning, if you're lost without God and you say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, you don't have to go to hell. I don't want to die in my sins. You don't have to die in your sins. Well, I want to be saved. Well, you can be saved. You say, what do you got to do? All you got to do is come. Amen. And can I tell you something about the Lord in this text? He might not have been going in her direction, but he was not surprised that she was coming in his. Amen. I'm telling you, it took a lot of people by surprise, but Jesus knew as well what was going on behind him as what was going to happen in front of him. I'm telling you, he sees everything. He sees everything from the beginning to the end. He knows what's ahead, and thank God he knows what's behind. And he's able to reach out and help and secure the future, just like Jairus' daughter. But thank God he can take care of what's coming up behind. I'm telling you, you'll never bring a problem to God that'll ever take him by surprise. You'll never put too much on him. He's able to take care of what's out there, but he's able to take care of what's back yonder. I'm telling you, Jesus knows. He just wants you to come. If you'll go in his direction, it'll be the right path. Amen. You got to have a path this morning. You say, well, how do I get to Jesus? What's the right path? I tell you, it starts with church. Can I get an amen? Now, I tell you, God is everywhere. Well, I believe he's omnipresent. Amen. I believe he's on every hill. He's in every valley. He's under every rock. He's in every river. He's in every meadow. Amen. I believe you can find God anywhere, don't you? I believe he's behind the Iron Curtain this morning. I believe he's in Red China. I believe he's in the deep, dark jungles of Africa. I'm telling you, God is everywhere. He can be found in all places at all times. But can I tell you something? If you're going to find Jesus on Sunday morning, if you want to get in touch with Jesus on Sunday morning, you don't go to the ball field, somebody say amen. You don't go down to the lake and go fishing. You don't get in a deer stand. You know where you find him on Sunday? You find him in the house of God. Amen. So, well, preacher, me and the Lord like to go to the lake and have prayer. That's all right. But if you're going to talk to him on Sunday, you need to go to his house, because he's at home on Sunday. So I just like to go out there on Monday and wet a hook and talk to Jesus. Amen. Go out there on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And I'll tell you, if you want to meet him, you're going to have to come on Sunday. That's the path. That's the direction he's going in. Open this Bible and read it. That's the direction. That's the right path. You see, you want to hear from him, you got to read his word. Amen. And the word of God will speak to you. The word of God will minister to your soul. This woman got healed. This woman touched Jesus because she had a path. What path are you headed down this morning? That's the real question. Are you going down the devil's path? Are you going down the pathway of the world? Are you going down your own path? I tell you, if you are, you're going in the opposite direction and you'll not be able to get a hold of him. You got to go where he's leading. Hallelujah. I like that old song, don't you? Where he leads me, I will go. Where he leads me, I will follow. I like that path. And I look back through life, and many of you could testify the same. I look back through life, and I want to say I have regrets in the fact that I have failed God and not been everything that I should have been and wanted to be. But I want to say this morning, I have no regrets in following this path and living for Jesus Christ. I have no regrets in giving him the best years of my life. I'm telling you this morning, I still want to go behind him. Amen. This woman is not ahead of him, but she's coming behind him. I tell you, we got to get in the right path, and we got to get in the right place of that path. We got to get behind him and follow him if we want to get in touch with him. You know, we all fail God. We all come up short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not just a one-time statement. I'm saying when you compare my life to God's glory, His person, His character, who He is, I miss the mark. Saved by grace, on my way to heaven, but I live in this old tabernacle of clay. This flesh is not saved. And so I miss the mark. Holiness, progressive holiness, but positionally can only come through Christ and Him alone. This morning, I'm not sanctified enough to trust in myself. There's not all of my righteousness, all the righteousness that I could muster up this morning. God said, you know what that is? It's filthy rags in the sight of a thrice holy God. This morning, what I'm saying to you is, I'm not worthy to be on this path. But I'm glad by grace, He put me on it. I'm glad, thank God, I can follow His path. You say, preacher, I'm just a sorry, low-down sinner. Oh, I know we all are. But I like that song we sung this morning, God Saves Old Sinners. And the greatest surprise, the songwriter said, is that He would save an old sinner like me. I wasn't a thief, but yet I lived in sin's prison. Amen. I'm telling you, you might be a good sinner and you might be a bad sinner, but you're still a sinner that needs to be saved. And it's good to know you can be saved. And it's also good to know that after you're saved, we get the blessed privilege and opportunity to follow Jesus. Amen. This woman, she touched Him because she had a path. What path are you going down this morning? Then secondly, I would say that she was able to touch Jesus because she had a plan. The Bible says in verse number 21, look at her plan, for she said within herself. She hasn't told anybody. She's just work this plan out within herself. I would say one of the reasons she probably hadn't told anybody was because everybody had already told her there was no hope for her. Doctors had said, we can't help you. Physicians had said, there's nothing else we can do. Pharisees, the religious crowd, said, there's nothing we can do for you. There's no water. There's no oil. There's no miracle, woman. That's what you need. You need an absolute miracle. You're dying, and there's nothing else that man can do for you. I want to tell you, when man can't help you, God can still reach down and help you. This woman had reached the point of no return. She had depleted every resource that she had. No one offered her refuge. No one offered her aid. She was destined to die, and there wasn't a thing she could do about it. All of a sudden, thank God, she formed this plan. She said to herself, low notice, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. Now, what kind of a plan is that? Think about it. I don't know anywheres where Jesus ever preached that if you touch the hem of my garment, you can be made whole. That's not Old Testament. I could hear some Pharisees come by and say, if she would have told them, they would have said, now, woman, what makes you think touching His garment is going to make you whole? You never heard Him say that. We didn't read that in the Pentateuch. Moses didn't say that. Abraham didn't say that. Doesn't look like much of a plan humanly. You say, well, what kind of plan is that? It's a plan of faith. You know what motivated her? It was her faith. Woman, why do you think if you touch the hem of His garment, you never heard Him say that? No religious crowd told you that. Where'd you get that theology? I'll tell you what theology that is. That's faith rising up in the heart of someone that desperately needs to get in touch with God. And they said, I don't have to touch Him, but if I can just touch whatever's connected to Him, I believe that'll be enough. You know, I can't physically touch Jesus right now, but thank God I can touch what's connected to Him. Amen. I tell you, this book's connected to Him. The church is connected to Him. You say, what is that? It's faith. Amen. It may not sound like much of a plan to this world. It may not sound like much of a plan to physicians. But thank God the plan worked. Amen. You can't argue with the fact that her plan worked. You know why? Because faith always works. Faith in Jesus, it always gets the job done. Amen. You know, the day I got saved, I didn't know John 3:16. But I heard the gospel. I knew I was lost. I didn't really know what to say, but I had a plan. You know what the plan was? The preacher said, come. You know what I did? Same things you did. I just came. You see, there was no power in the garment. Wouldn't you agree with that? Perhaps, I think you might have told me this the other day, and I'm going to steal it right now while I'm preaching. Perhaps it's the reason why them soldiers gambled for that garment. But there was no power in that garment. And there was no power in her hand. If there had been power in her hand, that woman would have touched herself a long time ago. No power in the hand, no power in the garment. But there was power in faith. Faith on her end. And there was power in Christ and faith on Christ, or power on Christ. I'm going to tell you, when faith and Christ come together, the power of God is always displayed. I tell you, it wasn't her flesh, her hand. It wasn't his garment. But when she reached out, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people touching his garment. If you go back and read Mark chapter 5, Jesus stops and turns around and said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, the multitude is thronging you. Everybody's touching you. And how, why would you ask who touched you? I'll tell you, everybody was touching that garment, but there was only one person that touched that garment in faith. And she was touching more than the H-E-M, but she was touching the H-E-M or the H-I-M. She touched him with faith. And if your plan is to get in touch with Jesus, if you'll come, if you'll get on the right path, you can touch him by faith. Amen. Every prayer that God has ever answered in my life, I cannot think of one prayer this morning that God ever answered where I just came to God in just 1,000% faith. Oh, you say, have you not believed God for things? Sure, I have. But there's been more times than not where I've had to say, Lord, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? More times I've prayed and I've been talking to God about something, and maybe it's the devil, maybe it's the flesh. Sometimes they're so much alike, who knows which it is sometimes. Sometimes one or the other will say, God ain't going to answer that. You really believe God's going to answer that? You really think that's going to happen? Don't you think this woman heard that? Every step she took on that path, I remind you, was a painful step. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She was frail and weak, growing worse. And here's a woman that every step she takes, she's reminded of what's happening in her body. And I'm sure the flesh, if not the devil himself, rode her every step and said, you think touching his garment is going to make you whole? She probably said, that's the plan. Woman, can't you feel every step? Woman, you're leaving a trail behind you. That's the plan. If this don't work, nothing else will. I've heard what he's done for others. And what he's done for others, he could do for me. And she's making that step. She's going, that's her plan. She's sticking to the plan. You know, if you'll just stick to the plan, faith works. The flesh will tell you it won't work. The devil will tell you it won't work. Hey, the crowd was in her way. The world will always tell you it won't work. Amen. This woman had to press through the crowd. She had to press on in spite of those that was between her and Jesus. But she was determined. Nobody's getting between me and the Lord. Nobody's standing between me and him. It doesn't matter what it takes. I'm just going to get to Jesus in spite of her flesh, in spite of her pain, in spite of her suffering, in spite of all the bad reports, in spite of the crowd that stood there. She just kept pressing through the crowd until finally she reached out and faith got a hold of the touch of the hem of his garment. Amen. I'm telling you, faith will always get you to God. Hallelujah. It'll get you to him. If you want to get to him, faith will get you there. Faith will get you there when everything else stands in the way. And I see she had a path, she had a plan, and then finally she had a prayer. Here's her prayer. She said, if I may but touch his garment, here's the prayer, I shall be whole. That was her prayer. Lord, I just want to be whole. I'm tired of being who I am. I'm tired of the condition that I'm in. I just want to be whole. In faith, she said, notice it does not say I could be whole or maybe I'll be whole, but faith says I shall be whole. Faith removes all doubt. Faith says it doesn't matter what others think or what others say. It doesn't matter what the laws of physics or the laws of science says. Faith says, Lord, if I can just get to you, if I can just reach out and touch you, I don't know how it's going to happen, but somewhere, some way, somehow, I believe you're going to touch me if I can touch you. I believe God touches us. I believe God touches us spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally. I believe whatever touch it is, that we need in our life. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. If you'll reach out and touch him, he'll touch you. Amen. She had this prayer and Jesus says to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. You know, this morning, if you need to touch the Lord, here's what you need. You need a path. You need to go in the direction. If you're going another direction, you ain't going to touch him. You need a plan. The plan is I'm going to get to God one way or the other. I'm going to get to him. And then when you get to him, you need a prayer. And that prayer needs to be in faith. That God, I'm trusting you to do what I cannot do for myself. I'm trusting you to help me in this situation. Don't you think God hears that prayer, Lord, help me. I've read that in the Bible, hadn't you? I've read that other little prayer, Lord, save me. Them little prayers are as good as them big prayers. Them Pharisees would love to stand in the corner of the streets and they thought they was heard for their much speaking. But I tell you, when you're like Peter and you're sinking and the waves of life and the billows of life are coming in, you don't have time for a big, long, pretty prayer. But if you can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. In desperation, he'll reach his hand further down than you can reach up and lift you above the billows and lift you above the waves and the storms of life, hallelujah, and rescue you. I'll tell you, when you're destitute and you're needy, if you just say, Lord, would you help me? I'm telling you, listen, lie on the wings of a snow-white dove, hallelujah. He'll run to your rescue and your aid, and he'll lift you out of the problem that you're in. I'm telling you, God's more willing to hear us, and he's more willing to help us than we are willing to ask him for it this morning. Got to get desperate. When you got a plan, you got a prayer, and you got a path, notice this. I tell you what you'll get. You get a promise. Because Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. I want to give you some comfort, daughter. Here's the promise. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The promise that you got what you asked for in your moment of need. And then you will see God's powers. The Bible says, and the woman was made whole from that hour. Now I want to close with this thought this morning. I want to go back to her testimony. Because can you imagine, this woman starts out in verse number 20 as a woman that's known for an issue, diseased with an issue of blood. A disease means it's not going to get any better. She's diseased with an issue of blood. Her testimony is that she's the woman with the issue of blood. In fact, some Bible headings will say that, the woman with the issue of blood. That was her testimony. Little town, I'm sure as she went through town, people could say, you know who that woman, oh, that's that woman with the issue of blood. Somebody say, you know how to get to such and such? Well, you go down the street, you know where the woman with the issue of blood lives? Right there on the corner. Just go past her house. And that was her testimony. Little kids come around. Parents would tell their children, don't get around that lady right there. She's a nice lady, but she's unclean. According to Bible standards, she is unclean. She's got an issue of blood. And maybe his children say, what does that mean? Well, she's dying. You know, she don't have much longer to live. I'm sure her testimony in town as she grew older and weaker as the years went on, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, now we're in the 12th year. I'm sure the talk of the town was this. You know, that woman, did you see the woman with the issue of blood the other day? Well, she looks worse. She's growing worse. She's not going to be here much longer. You see how pale she's looking and how weak and frail she is. She's dying. That was her testimony in verse 20. But when you get to verse 22, we go from 12 years to that hour. From 12 years of dying and suffering and bearing that testimony to, hey, did you hear about that woman with the issue of blood? Oh, yeah, she don't have much longer. Did she die? I knew she didn't have much longer to live. Oh, no, she's not dead. In fact, have you seen her lately? She's running all over town. What do you mean? I thought she was frail and dying. Oh, she was, but she ain't dying no more. She's living now. Amen. What do you mean? No doctor could help her. No religion could help her. Oh, no. But hey, what happened? You ain't going to believe this story. Probably two women gossiping together. Amen. You won't believe this story. I tell you, I heard it the other day. I hadn't met her. I hadn't seen it for myself. But they say. Don't you love it when they say that they say? I tell you what they tell me. I read it on social media. So it must be true. Facebook said it. They say that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was made whole. Oh, come on. 12 years of bleeding and dying, and she just touched his garment and she's made whole. Wait till you see her. And I can see that woman through town now. Her testimony is not, she's sick, she's dying, she's the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, no, her testimony is, have you met this woman over here? Oh, this woman, there was a time when she had no hope whatsoever. This woman looked so much alive and so much energetic, but her life was wasted and she was just about gone. But one day, she just in faith, she reached out and she touched Jesus. And when she touched Jesus, Jesus touched her. And 12 years of destitute and 12 years of dying and 12 years of a dark testimony, in just that very hour, it was all gone. Her testimony was wiped clean. The slate is wiped clean. And now, thank God, she's not dying. But hallelujah, she's living, amen. I tell you, I remember 30-something years ago when I was dying and my testimony was dark and there was no hope. But thank God I reached out and I touched him and he touched me and I'm living. Hallelujah. It feels good to be alive. Hallelujah. You know, I look at people every week of my life. And I don't look at their good deeds and their works and how they're dressed. But I'll tell you what I look for when I see God's children. One thing, life. Amen. You can have all of the above, but if you don't have life, you don't know Jesus. You can wear a suit every Sunday, and I think you ought to wear a suit if you're a man, not if you're a woman. You ought to wear a dress to church. A modest one. Go to God's house and look like you're going to God's house. You don't have to wear a tie. I mean, I tell you now, I wear a tie. I believe a preacher ought to wear a tie. But wouldn't you like to hang the guy who come up with a tie? And I tell you, when I'm through preaching, it comes off. But I believe a preacher ought to wear a tie. Respect the office. But I'm saying this morning. You can wear a nice tie and shirt and suit. But do you have life? That's the key this morning. You can wear a nice dress on Sunday. But do you have life? You can sing the choir. You can pay tithes. You can do all them things that Christians do. But sometimes I look in people's faces and I wonder, is there any life in there? If I had to go to church every Sunday, and I mean this, if I had to go to church every Sunday and endure church, and I couldn't enjoy it, Brother Jack, I don't think I would ever go to church. But before I quit church, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd do a real deep evaluation. Why am I not enjoying church? Hey, something wrong. When you come every week and you can't wait to get out. Hey, something wrong when everything's a deer in the headlight look. You can't get nothing out. There's something wrong when preaching don't feed you. And the singing don't bless you. Hey, something wrong when you're happier out there than you are in here. Am I right about that? Hey, something wrong when he don't ever talk to you and deal with you and speak to you. I'm telling you, just a little thing you could think or say and the Holy Ghost will speak to you. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's life. Amen. Somebody moved in your house. Somebody's living on the inside. I tell you, I can go to the house. I can come in from a trip or something or from town, whatever. I can come in. Just walking in the door, I can tell when the house is empty and I can tell when there's somebody in it. I can tell. Before I get through the living room, I can tell. I've walked in the house many times, and I know my wife's already here. I walk in the house. I know the grandkids are here. There's a trail from the leading from Dan to Beersheba. I walked in the house the other day, just this week. Went to, me and Brother Brian went somewhere. We drove 5 hours one way, preached, got in the car, and drove 5 hours home. It was about 3:30 in the morning. I went in there, put my Bible up in my office. And when I walked in my office, guess what? The Confederate Army was fighting the Union Army. The only difference, I never read this in Civil War history, but they was Army tanks. Boy, they were blowing the Union all to pieces. They were scattered all over. They were scattered like roaches all over the place. And I about tripped over a few Union soldiers myself. And I said, Lord, you know, them things hurt when you step on them. And I saw that. And I knew some people had been in the house. How do you know that? There was evidence. And I'll tell you, if you're saved this morning, thank God there's evidence. I can take you back to the day I got saved, but I don't have to, Brother Laddie. I tell you this morning, there's been enough evidence since I rolled out of the bed till I got right here, Brother Mike. There's somebody in the house. Thank God. That about makes me want to shout. It don't about make me want to. I want to thank God for the Holy Ghost this morning. I want to thank God for the liver, amen. I thank God there's somebody living inside of me. We got to sing that old song about the book of Revelation, amen. And that part that said one of these days I'll rise and shout. I don't know, there's something inside of me. There's someone inside of me that said, oh yeah, one of these days, hallelujah, we're going to shout and rise and seize the everlasting prize. I say bless the Lord. I say hallelujah. I thank God. There's life this morning, amen. There's life. And this morning as we stand, do you have eternal life? Are you saved? See, Brother Gravely, I don't really know. Well, you can know. You just got to come in the direction. Get out of that pew and say, I'm going, like that little girl right there. Just coming down the aisle right now. Not caring what nobody in this building thinks. Just like that little girl coming. If she can come, then anybody can come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want the Lord to save you? He's got arms stretched out this morning. If a woman 12 years can come, you can come. The little children can come. You won't be saved? Just come.